I want to punch somebody in the face right now.
Are you in a bad mood today?
I might be. How honest do you want me to be?
This is going to be really interesting because we've had a rough morning.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
You want to talk about anger.
I guess I figured
I might as well get angry and display the emotion we're going to talk about.
I guess it's appropriate. But I remember, I think we'd been married about 4 years. We were in seminary and we were wallpapering. We're flipping a house in seminary. So we're in a bathroom and I've been wallpapering all day and we're wanting to get it done quickly. So you came in, you go, I'll help you. I'm like, great. So you're helping me. You've never done it before. And you start telling me what to do and how I'm doing it all wrong.
I never did that.
Totally did it. So then you're like, just watch this. And you do it and you rip the entire, like this whole strip of wallpaper. And you are so mad. And somehow it was my fault.
Of course.
And so I'm like, I'm not even going to do this with you. You can do it all by yourself if you're going to be like that. And that,
how many times have you said that in our marriage?
But that started this journey for about maybe 4 or 5 years.
Of me being angry.
Yes.
And I know it all.
And you're super chill when we were dating. And so I'm like, who's this guy that I'm married to? But do you think that's true, that you've went through a real anger time?
I know it's true because you've told me 100 times.
But you didn't feel it yourself?
I couldn't see it at the time. I mean, the time you walked into the garage in Michigan, so this is years later, so it didn't go away in a couple of years.
No.
And I literally think I had a pipe wrench, and I'm hitting the lawnmower because it wouldn't start. And you just stood there like...
What? You know what I thought? I thought, what are our boys going to think of this? Like, this is kind of weird and scary, but funny, too. Like, what are you doing? And it did make me laugh because you weren't taking it out on any of us, but it
was the
like,
only reason
wow.
we can laugh now.
Yeah.
Is because I addressed it.
Yes.
And again, that same house in Michigan in the kitchen, when you said something about me and about our marriage, and I blew up, and you said, do you remember this? Mm-hmm. You said, I'm never bringing stuff up anymore about our marriage because that's what you do every time. You just blow up. And as you were walking away, I mean, you couldn't have scripted this any better. I said, what are you talking about? I don't blow up. And you just turned and looked at me like Exhibit A. Mm. That moment was when I realized, oh boy, I think she's right. Why am I yelling? Why am I hitting lawnmowers? And again, some ways we were younger married. I don't even know if we had kids yet, but
not in seminary.
We didn't understand what we try to tell younger couples now or any couple getting married. You're bringing a whole bunch of baggage into your marriage.
And your anger was one of them, but it was tied to something.
Yeah, I had no idea. I knew there were, we talk about this at the Family Life Weekend. Remember, there are stuffers and there are blowers. You were more of a blower.
Yeah.
I was a stuffer, and then it exploded because
like
I would stuff it all down.
Yeah.
And I had no idea it was connected to anything. So after that moment in the kitchen, I realized I do have an anger problem. It's explosive at times. I've never hit anybody. I don't even think I ever cursed.
No.
I just was harsh and loud and mad. And yeah, when you're kicking your lawnmower because it won't start, you might want to look in the mirror and say, what's this connected to? So, you know, it's like an extension cord wrapped around you or plugged into you. And you got to go down that extension cord and say, where is this coming from? I found out mine was what psychologists call chronic anger.
Yeah, because some of us, if our kids are little and you're frustrated and it's just you're in a hard season,
right?
That might just be displaced anger. You're just tired or grumpy or
displaced
hungry.
Displaced meaning?
You're not angry at the kids. You're just angry at
displaced
situations.
Displaced from somewhere else.
Right. That's what I mean. You're tired or you haven't eaten. So it's not about the kids, but it's about something else that just recently happened or you're experiencing. But chronic anger, explain what that is.
Chronic, which I've never heard these terms before, but chronic anger is like displaced in that it's coming from something else, not what's right in front of you. but it's deeper. It could be decades ago. It's like the guy or the gal who's seething. Like, you never know what might set them off, like wallpaper or a lawnmower not starting. It's like, and it's usually explosive. So you're like, I can see why maybe you should have some anger, but not at that level. That should be like a flashing light on the dashboard of your soul saying you have chronic anger and it's plugged into something and you better figure out what and why and what you're going to do about it.
Yeah, even the wallpaper story, that was like a 2. It should be like a 2 on the anger scale out of 10. And yours was a 10.
Yeah.
But that is a good way. Same with our teenagers. Part of that's hormonal, part of that's situational. But man, if there's just constant anger, it's good to look deeper into it. So yeah. What was yours? What did you discover?
Well, again, we didn't realize we brought things.
Baggage,
luggage, whatever you want to call it, into our marriage. Obviously, mine's 2 alcoholic parents, divorce, adulteries by my dad, death of my brother when I was 7, he was 5. All that is in my past. And guess what? In our family, we never, I mean, ever talked about it.
Ever talked about anything?
Nothing.
Except the good.
So I had sort of stuffed that down. Never really saw my dad the rest of my life. A couple days, a year, maybe he come. So there was a real fractured relationship there. You bring in sexual abuse and a performance from your family. So anyway, we bring those in. And the next thing I know, I'm, as you pointed out, a very angry guy. And I really think chronic anger that we're talking about has a long extension cord. It's not like displaced. Something happened this morning or maybe 30 minutes ago. It could be a year ago. It could be 20 years ago. So that extension cord is really long. So you got to go back and say what it is. And I also believe this. Chronic anger has a long extension cord and it can't be released or dealt with unless you forgive.
Mm.
I think there's somebody that's hurt you in your life.
Or something that's happened.
And you're going to have to make a choice to forgive that person, which makes no sense. It's irrational. They don't deserve it. And you're holding that. And for me, it was my dad.
How did you figure out it was your dad? Like, how did you trace it back to him of being your anger? Because some of us are thinking, this is me, I'm angry, and I don't know why. I don't know what the extension cord is tied to.
Yeah, I don't think I realized it either until the day you told me.
I should just like, I'm liking this talk.
You pointed out the anger, and then, do you not remember?
I do remember.
You know.
You were talking, I noticed. Your dad would call periodically, and when you would talk to him.
Well, I said it on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, yes.
Watching our little boys wrestle around on the floor in front of us, and
yeah.
I just turned to you, and again, listen to the kind of things you're saying.
They were probably 7, 5, and 2
yeah,
at that
time.
Yeah,
so about the age I was
yeah.
when dad left, and again, I don't even realize I'm saying it, but all I said was, hey, you believe my dad left me when I was that age, pointing at CJ, who's 7.
Mm.
And you said, you're going to need to forgive your dad. And I said, I forgave him years ago. And then you said, you know, when he calls, you don't even talk. You just hold the phone out here and you say, okay, see you. And you hang up.
You roll your eyes. You don't want to have a relationship with him. You don't want to be around him.
So there were some real symptoms saying you've got a forgiveness issue with your dad. And so I started a journey I thought would be a week or two, because I know Ephesians 4:32 says, just as God has forgiven you, forgive others. So we didn't deserve forgiveness from God. We are sinners who have rebelled against him. We have turned our back on him. We have spit on him in many ways. We have cursed his name, and he forgives us with his death on the cross.
Mm.
And just as he has forgiven us who do not deserve it, he says, I'm commanding you as a follower of me to forgive others who do not deserve it, whether it's your dad or your mom, your spouse, whoever it is. And again, I thought, okay, I know this. I've preached this. I've led Bible studies.
How long did you think it would take?
A couple weeks, maybe a month. I'm like, let's do this. You know, you're right. I haven't forgiven my dad. And again, I hadn't even connected the chronic anger to it at that point. But
how did you start the journey? Like, somebody's listening thinking, like, okay, I think that's me. There's some things I haven't even dealt with. How do you start?
For me, I started with prayer. Okay, God, I want to start this journey. How do I start this journey? The next day, a buddy runs into me at a grocery store. What am I doing at a grocery store? Never mind a grocery store.
You would never go to a grocery store.
You sent me there with the list, so I'm trying to find milk. I don't even know where it is, and I'm walking around. And Jay walks up to me. He goes, dude, what are you doing here? I'm like, you know, look, I got the list. Every guy that's got a list, his wife sent him there. So here I am. And he goes, I can't believe you're here. I'm reading a book. It's in my car. I thought of you when I read this book. I'm like, what is he? I'll be right back. He runs out of the car. He comes back in. He hands me a book by an author who is now dead, but I think he's the premier writer on forgiveness, Lewis Smedes, S-M-E-D-E-S. In fact, we'll put a link to his book at familylifetoday.com in the show notes.
Are they still selling it?
Yeah, you can still get it. It's okay. Called Forgive and Forget, Healing the Hurts We Don't Deserve. We've had Lisa Turkhurst on. Her forgiveness book is
so
awesome.
Good.
So there's a lot of great stuff. But back then, this is the book he handed me. And Jay had been reading it, and he hands it to me. And
what did you think when he handed it to you?
I thought, okay, I better read this book.
I mean, stop and think about that.
I know. I'm never in a grocery store, and I'm there that day, and he's in the same 15 minutes he's there.
And boom. You're not the, like, miraculous kind of, but that's pretty incredible.
I knew I had to read this book. And guess what? I read it in a day.
Because it's not too big.
It's not that long.
Yeah.
And I realized when I read it, okay, this may take a while. I didn't think it'd take years, but I knew it'd take more than a couple of weeks. And then Lewis walks you through a four-step process that I did, and it sort of works. I don't remember exactly what the four words he used. I changed it because I preached on this over the years to these four words: hurt, hate, healing, homecoming. So the first thing Smedes says is you've got to connect to how you've been hurt by this person.
Let me read this opening paragraph in the book on hurt. If you live long enough, chances are you'll be hurt by someone you counted on to be your friend. And if you're like me, you may let that hurt fester and grow until it stifles your joy. When that happens, you have entered the first stage of forgiving.
Yeah,
when you read that, what did you think?
I thought, oh boy. I just couldn't see it. He even asked this question, will we let our pain hang on to our hearts where it will eat away our joy? Or will we use the miracle of forgiving to heal the hurt we didn't deserve?
I like that, didn't deserve. And you know what? That's what had happened to you. You had lost your joy. Because when we were dating, even first married, you were incredibly joyful, and that seemed to have evaporated.
It was an escape.
What do you mean?
I ran to things to escape the pain.
So your joy was fake?
I don't think it was deep-seated. It was just I'd go to parties, I'd be the life of the party, I'd be
fun. But you weren't partying when we dated.
No, not partying, just going to hang out with people. I'd be fun, and you bury the hurts and you don't deal with them. So you put on a smile and it's called escape.
And eventually when you're in your home where you're the truest form of yourself, it comes out.
Yeah. It came out in our marriage.
Yeah, it did.
And so he says you go from, if you haven't dealt with that hurt, you go to hate. Now, hate's a strong word. Let me read you his definition. He says, you cannot shake the memory of how much you were hurt and you cannot wish your enemy well. You sometimes want the person who hurt you to suffer as you are suffering.
Oh.
Everybody does
that. Every single person does that, don't we?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of even church hurt. Like people in the church that have hurt you and it feels so wrong, it feels justified to have these emotions.
Well, it always feels justified, whoever it is.
You're right.
Dad, mom,
yeah, you
neighbor.
Probably thought, he doesn't deserve my
love. He doesn't.
Love.
He had affairs, he broke his vows, he didn't show up. You have every reason to mask your hurt and feel the hate. Maybe hate's a too strong a word, but displeasure. I'm not going to wish him well. Are you kidding me? He doesn't deserve it. He hasn't earned it. And I know there are people watching or listening right now. That's where they're living, with their dad or their mom or their spouse.
I remember you said this. You lay in bed and are consumed by thoughts about them and wanting them to pay.
Yeah.
Because they deserve it.
And so Smedes says you have to go on this, he calls it spiritual surgery, where God heals your heart from the inside out. And it's like this surgery that's spiritual in nature, because you can't just get rid of those feelings. You've got to invite God in to this. I had sort of stiff-armed God, like, you know, I'm not going to let you in. And he doesn't deserve my forgiveness.
Okay, that help me make sense of that. You don't want him in because you don't want to forgive
him. I don't.
And you know that God will want, he wants you to.
Yeah, and so you keep him out. But healing begins when you say, okay, God, I can't forgive. I need to forgive. You've commanded me to forgive. I need you to give me the power to forgive. I mean, Smead says, you will know that forgiveness has begun when you recall those who hurt you and feel the power to wish them well. That's one of his definitions of forgiveness, is you actually wish them well. You want well for their life. And for me, that took 5 years. The 2 week journey became a 4 to 5 year journey. It was daily. It was softening of my heart, my dad, letting him into my life again.
Did you know that you had reached that point because you could wish him well?
Yeah, but it took 5 years.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
After 5 years.
I mean, the best quote in the book, and I remember dropping the book when I read this, literally dropped it. He said, when you forgive someone, you set a prisoner free only to discover that you're the prisoner. And that's when I dropped the book, because I was like, I thought I was locking him up. He doesn't deserve to be back in my life. He's made decisions that has pushed him out of my life, and I'm going to make sure he stays out. And I thought I was locking him up. And when I read that quote, I'm like, I'm locked up. I can't become the husband you deserve, the dad my kids need. The anger thing is connected to forgiveness. And it was the first time I started thinking, so if I can choose, and it's a choice, not a feeling, if I can choose to forgive my dad, to wish him well, to give up my right to punish him, and he deserves to be punished. And what I didn't realize then, he had already been punished by my mom, by us. He had gone
through the circumstances,
a lot of things. But forgiveness means I'm going to give up that right. God's got it. God's punished that sin on the cross. God forgave me. I'm going to forgive him. So it was a choice. Like, and I didn't realize it, but when I forgave my dad, I think I became a man.
I do too. But let me go back to that, because you gave him access to your life. But some people are listening thinking, this person was so abusive or so narcissistic or so harmful in many ways, maybe emotional. I don't want to give them access to my life. Can I forgive them with still placing boundaries around myself?
Forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation. They're two different things. So yeah, you can forgive someone and not have a relationship with them. They may be toxic. They
and you
may
could
be dangerous.
Still wish them well.
Yeah, you can forgive them. You can love them. You can say, but you're not going to be in my life. It's too toxic. You're not a safe person, but I forgive you. And I actually wish you well, and I hope you find Jesus. But that doesn't mean you really, and my relationship with my dad didn't become awesome.
But we did give him access.
Better.
Yeah, it was better.
He was not
unsafe. He wasn't dangerous.
He wasn't abusive. He was actually a Christian now. He is a totally different man.
Super kind.
Yeah, very kind, very loving. I think he had immense regret.
Me too.
He told me the biggest mistake of his life was divorcing mom years later. So if you go back to the four steps of forgiveness, according to Smead, you got hurt. We talked about that. Hate. You've got healing. And then there could be, this is optional, a homecoming. They may be dead, so there's no homecoming. My dad was still alive. So I'll never forget the day we were playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was down there with the Detroit Lions. I spoke to the chapel service and dad came to it because he lived in Florida. He was an airline pilot. And back then I didn't go on the team bus into the stadium. I went myself. And so dad drove me over to the stadium. We're sitting outside. I'll never forget. I'm looking at the Tampa Bay Stadium, which is no longer there. Now they're in a new stadium. But I said to my dad, hey, Dad, I need to say something to you that I haven't said in a long time, if ever. I love you and I forgive you. I'll never forget. He turns to me and he goes, forgive me? What the blank for? And I'm so glad Smeeds had said they may respond beautifully and you have a great hug. They may be dead. They may say, what the blank for? I mean, I want to say, you have no idea. And he just sort of looked at me like he didn't really. And guess what? Forgiveness isn't about the other person. It's about you. I was free. Whether he received it or not, some homecomings are beautiful. Some are sort of like that. Our homecoming happened over the next several years. It got better.
But I wonder if
it's not about them. It's about you.
Yeah. I wonder what he would have said had you asked him that or told him that years later. I think he'd have responded different.
I think he knew. He
did know.
He realized.
When he told you his greatest regret was divorcing your mom.
Right.
That was later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're right. Whew. And you did. Let me just say, your anger didn't go away overnight, but eventually you didn't have that explosiveness.
Anger's gone.
It is gone.
I'm not saying you don't get angry. I don't get angry. We get angry.
We were angry this morning.
Yeah. I was angry when I walked in here because you left my iPad in the car and it's 90 degrees in Florida and I got to walk a half mile to get it, maybe 100 yards. But I mean, and you got to deal with that anger. But chronic is a deep-seated that's connected to forgiveness. And I'm just saying, there's somebody listening or watching today.
What would you say to them?
Start the journey.
You would.
Take the first step. Say, God, I need to forgive so-and-so. Will you help me start the journey?
Let's think through what we would say as a spouse is listening this. They're thinking, this is for my spouse. They're angry. I know that they've got issues they haven't dealt with in the past. How do I approach them? Because it's such a sensitive topic.
What did you say? Because you said it to me.
I think pray before you talk about it. I don't think I prayed much about it. I wasn't unkind in how I said it. But kind of observe them. I think I would be very gentle and ask God, Lord, help shape the words that I'm going to use. Help me to have the right timing is kind of our book. When should I say it? How should I say it? And God will give you wisdom. James 1 says, ask and he will give you wisdom generously. Ask the timing, ask the way to do it. But you're a team. You're one. And just say, hun, I feel like I'm seeing some anger in you or some depression in you, because even depression is anger turned inward. Yep. So I'm seeing some things in you and I'm wondering, like, do you think it could be like a forgiveness issue? Have the conversation. If I would have asked you that, you would have probably said, no.
Yeah, but then later I might have thought about
exactly.
It. I would say to the person that's wondering if your anger is a little bit deeper than you think, you ask the question.
Ask your spouse.
Ask some guys in your life. Say, hey, I think I could have an anger thing that's a little deeper than it should be. Or do you think I have somebody in my life I need to forgive? That's courage to ask somebody that question.
For sure.
And say, man, I want you to help me identify that and then start the journey.
Mm.
I mean, that journey changed our life.
Totally changed our life.
Changed every second of every day of our life.
And you're a different dad because of it.
Yeah. I really don't think I passed that on to our kids.
I don't either.
Because I dealt with it before they were like 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
It was early. So you got to deal with it. The stakes are high.
And as a spouse, be on their team. Say, hon, maybe I have that issue too. If I'm blind to that, let me know. And then to say, how can I help you? Like, I want to go on that path with you. Maybe we both read Smead's book, or Lisa Turkhurst's book is really good on this too. It's called Forgiving What You Can't Forget.
Yeah, we'll put a link to 3 books, all right? You ready? In our show notes at familylifetoday.com, we'll put a link for Lewis Smead's book, Forgive and Forget, for Lisa Turkhurst's book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget, and for Dave and Ann Wilson's book, Vertical Marriage, because we do a whole chapter on anger and forgiveness, so that might help you as well.
Mm. Well, I'm really glad you were brave enough to go on the journey, because you're a different person and Jesus has set you free from it.
He'll set you free too. Before we're done today, let me just say this to the listener. At Family Life, we really believe strong families can change the world. And when you become a Family Life partner, you help make that happen.
And I don't know if you realize this, but your monthly gift helps us equip marriages and families with biblical tools that they can count on.
Now, that's a pretty good deal. And we also want to send you exclusive updates, behind-the-scenes access, and an invitation to our private partner community, which is pretty cool. So join us and let's reach families and marriages together.
And you can go to familylifetoday.com and click the donate button to join today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.